Welcome to the Gospel Rain Podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We're glad you've joined us today for gospel-centered conversations of two like-minded pastors who want to see the gospel of Christ reign in the hearts of God's people. We would love to hear your feedback and your questions. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospelrain or go to @gospelrain on Twitter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain Conversation.
We're excited about today's topic. I know, Micah, you're a pastor, I'm a pastor, and we think a lot in the pastor realm just because that's where we are, and we are always asking for our folks to pray for us
yes.
in different ways, and we've had people in our own churches that might come up to us and be interested in how they can pray for us specifically, and so today, our topic of conversation on the Gospel Rain Podcast is how to pray for your pastor. And hopefully this topic will resonate with many of our listeners who are asking that question, how can I do that? How can I best pray for my pastor? In what ways can I lift you up? How can I know when I go before the Lord in prayer that I'm praying for some significant things in your life that you would be interested in me praying about,
right.
And ways that you can go to the Lord on our behalf. So we realize too, as we start this out, this is a little bit selfish for us to sort of come saying that we think our people want to pray for us, but we
yeah.
really have confidence our people do want to pray
they
for
do.
Us and want to know how to do this. And so, and we would also encourage you as a listener, even if you're not a member of either of our churches in North Mississippi, that wherever you are, you take this as an opportunity to learn to pray for your own pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are pastors who will listen to this podcast and may want to take an opportunity to share this with his church members
yes.
to say, hey, look, if you're listening for a way, wanting a way to pray for me, these guys may have come up with a couple of ways that you can do that. So
that's right.
Hopefully it's a tool that they can pass along to their own church members. So let me get the ball rolling today, Micah, with our conversation. When we start talking about how people can pray for us, let me just ask you, out of all the things that you could come up with, what's one of the ways that you would say people can pray for you, your own church members can pray for you about blank? What mm-hmm. would you say?
Well, we're going to give a list of, what, 7 or 8 things today, and it's not an exhaustive list. There are other things that might be more specific in certain pastors' lives than others, but I don't know, man. Of all the things that I think about that might be the most important, if you would pray for me or pray for any pastor, maybe it is to pray for his holiness. I think, you know, just looking out on the landscape of ministry and ministers in general, how often, Matt, have we heard of a pastor falling into sin
yeah.
and, you know, for a whole variety of different reasons why guys, you know, get in the situations they do and sin. And holiness has got to be, just as a Christian, I mean, we could unpack that. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You know, we're being conformed into the image of Christ, the Holy One. And, man, you said something earlier that the man kind of really does carry the message.
That's
and
right.
I don't want to be, as Paul said to the Corinthians, I don't want to be disqualified after preaching
That's
to
right.
others if I myself am not living the kind of life circumspectly in the world. And I've got my business in order when it comes to righteous life that John talks about in 1 John. So maybe pray for our holiness. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of the guys who have fallen out of ministry because of a lapse in moral judgment, those kind of things, moral immorality in their life, a lot of that is not just has negative effects on them, that pastor and his family, but that has negative effects on the church that he leads.
That's right.
You know, people are listening to him preach every week, and they're watching his life in public, and right or wrong, people put their pastors on pedestals,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when these men fall from that pedestal with some type of immorality in their life, it can do a lot of damage to the church of people that have been listening to him and been trusting him and
mm-hmm.
been putting a lot of faith in what he has said to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden now it doesn't seem that what he's been preaching – did any good in his life. You know, and that may not be the case, but that may be what's perceived.
Right.
So I would agree with you that the holiness of a pastor is a huge thing to pray for. Pray that that God would grow us in holiness. I mean, we're hoping that God is continuing to grow others in holiness that we're preaching to.
Right.
But the same is true for us too. We're shepherds, but we're also sheep. You know,
we
need to grow too.
The wreckage, as you mentioned, you know, in a congregation where spiritual leader falls into some form of immorality, man, it reverberates through the congregation. And you know, here's the thing. You know, we're going to be in situations we may not want to find ourselves in a counseling situation or some other kind of thing where, you know, I think this goes alongside this particular issue of how to pray for us, is that the holiness would be somewhat of a kind of that moral compass, that when we get around women, for example,
right,
that our hearts, number one, are, you know, exclusively for our own wives, but that we're walking with Christ in such a way. John Piper said it this way, that if your focus is on Christ, then your focus won't be on sin.
Mm.
And if our minds and our focus and we're prayed up and we're ready, we're walking with the Lord, you know, that we would be keen to the strategy and scheme of the devil, that he wants to fall, our marriages to be divided, and to get into a relationship that might seem innocuous on the front end, but it leads to other things down the road. And so holiness, I think, is a great protector, maybe, of those things, so much more.
You know, too, this is one of the ways that our church members could even help their pastors, not just pray for them about their own holiness, but to help protect their pastor's holiness. You know, because we can easily, and it's been done countless times now, where pastors have gotten themselves into a really sticky situation with someone of the opposite sex and find themselves behind a closed door and cornered somewhere alone with another woman. Mm-hmm. And that can be very difficult for a pastor. He wants to love her. He wants to counsel her. He wants to help her. But at the same time, it can be a really difficult situation for him to be in.
Yeah.
And so you can not only pray for your pastor's holiness, but help him protect that holiness too.
That's right.
As others are watching.
And if you know, our folks don't know that and don't understand that, almost always I include Meredith in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, if, for example, if someone wants to meet with me, I will either ask them, would you mind if Meredith joins us? You know, because she's got insight in some of these things too, and there's a protective layer that I don't have to describe to this person, but with Meredith there's high accountability. Or if I'm going to meet with someone and Meredith can't be there, she knows about it. And, you know, it's just, for me, all of that kind of flows into that you know, living circumspectly is the only way I'd say.
Keeping the door open, keeping the, you know, the blinds open, the window open, that kind of thing, to give yourself some transparency there.
Yeah.
But just pray for us, pray for your pastors, that we would grow in our own holiness and be protected that way.
Yeah, that's right. So that's a really important area in which you can pray for your pastors. What would you add, Matt?
I'd say pray for his family. You know, we and I've said this to my own church family, as a pastor, I don't get to leave my work at the office. I take my work home with me. And I can't help that because it's part of my calling, but I live in a church family where I'm watching over the souls of, you know, several hundred people, and I care about them, and I'm thinking about them maybe at the dinner table. I'm thinking about them in my own spare time at the house. Somebody's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Somebody's hurting. They're having a funeral tonight, and they're, you know, all these kind of things, and so I'm thinking about all these people. But at the same time, I've got to protect my time with my family too, and that's a hard line to draw sometimes. Where I want to be dedicated wholly to my family and not divided over the church and my family. I want to give myself 100% to my family, and sometimes that can be difficult to do, knowing the burdens that we bear and carry home with us.
Yes.
So you can pray for his family, pray for his time with his family, that God would give him plenty of it, and that God would allow him to protect that time with his family.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, our wives and our kids are not the pastor of the church.
That's right.
You know, they're like everybody else that are coming into the flock and receiving instruction and preaching and worship and everything else, but they happen to be intimately involved with the pastor of the church.
That's right.
And so they're, in some cases, and this is really, you hear so many war stories of this kind of stuff, about the expectations that are put on a pastor's wife or a pastor's kids. And man, that can be stifling.
It can.
And, you know, I've known brothers that are phenomenal ministers whose families are really struggling, and their kids grow up to fall away from the church because of the relationship of the pastor and the church. On the other hand, I've known a lot of pastors that have really done well with their family, and churches have understood this and, you know, and let them be the kind of people they are. And, man, I'm pleased to say right now I got a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they love the church. They enjoy coming most of the time, other than, you know, if it doesn't conflict their own, I don't want to play video games, right, or I want to sleep or whatever. But they love the church, and Meredith and I have really tried to foster a positive response to, man, look what the Lord's doing in our church, and isn't it great that we get to serve here? And so many different things that they hear me say genuinely, privately in our home.
Sure.
You know, and so, but we need to pray. We need to pray for their hearts, pray for their discipleship, pray for their joy, pray for a lot of different things that most people might not think of in family.
Yeah. So pray for his kids, pray for his wife. Pray for his involvement with them. Pray that God would protect his time with his family and help them to enjoy that family time, and take advantage of opportunities they've got to spend time together without the church family being around. And so those are ways that you could, I would say, you can pray for your pastors to pray for his family.
Absolutely. That's good.
What about another one? What you got?
Well, it might go along with this in some sense, but I'd say pray for your pastor's rest. Man, if a pastor's doing work,
yeah,
you know, this is no punching a clock 40 hours a
That's
week
right.
kind of thing, man. And you know, anecdotally, a lot of people think, well, you only work on Sundays and Wednesdays. What
you
are
work
you doing?
Like 2 hours a week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But man, you articulated a while ago about you never really do lay it down. You're always thinking, praying. You feel a burden for people that you want to help, you can't help. It's constantly with you. And man, I think it's at least for me, and you might speak to this as well, it's hard for me to decompress and to rest. I'm not just talking about sleeping through the week. I mean, I don't get enough sleep as I want to, but really, you know, really resting from the burdens that we carry. And how do you, you know, how does a church, how do Christian people alongside a pastor understand, man, you need time away. You need time with your wife. You need time with your kids, as you mentioned earlier. But just to be able to decompress and to say, hey, the world, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Just rest. And for a pastor really to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I think some pastors have gotten a bad rap and maybe have given us a bad reputation when it comes to that kind of thing, where you have the reputation of the pastor that plays golf four times a week.
Yes.
And, you know, that kind of thing is always gone, is always enjoying these kinds of other things, and gives us a bad reputation.
Right.
I don't play golf four times a week. I don't have the time to
exactly.
do that. I don't know what that would even be like. But anyway, I would say pray that your pastor would be able to rest. Not only physically, and rest his body, and be able to lay down at night with a clear conscience,
right.
and be able to just rest,
right.
Which is a huge thing. And sometimes, as a pastor who's committed to his work and praying and studying and to preach and all that, there's a lot of late nights of studying, because I didn't have time to do that in the office today. I had other things to do. I had administrative things to do. And
right.
people to go see, and I had all these other, you know, I had meetings, and then now I'm left to my time at night to study, when maybe I could be spending that time with my family, but I've got to put some things, you know, in certain levels of priority, and now I've got to study, and so it can be late nights. And
that's
just
right.
those are tough times. But pray that your pastor has an opportunity to rest physically, and pray for his rest spiritually too. That a lot of times when you're bearing all these burdens, which we love to do. I mean, as pastors, it's our privilege to bear burdens of our church members.
Right.
But at the same time, that can be burdensome. So pray for the spiritual rest of your pastor, that he's able to glean from the Lord, his word, those truths that are going to keep him moving, keep him going, keep him energized. Give him special insight and those kind of things for his, you know, the care of his family, the care of his church family. So pray for his rest physically and spiritually. I would agree with you.
Yeah, can I add something to that? You know, today's day, in today's culture, you know, accessibility, it's like 24/7, man.
Yeah.
With a smartphone, social media,
that's true.
A whole variety
true.
Of things. And if church members aren't careful, the assumption is that if they post something on Facebook, my pastor ought to see it and come minister to me. Well, obviously, you don't know the algorithm of Facebook, because I've got 4,000 friends and I only see like 20 at a time. So I'm missing more that's out there. But I think that accessibility is a two-edged sword. On the one hand, I'm grateful for it, that we can be in communication with our folks and know what's going on. On the other hand, the assumption is that the pastor ought to be on call all the time.
Yeah.
And there's really not mental, spiritual rest with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. 100%. That's become a harder thing to deal with in the last 20 years that I've been preaching, is the accessibility.
Right.
You know, 15 years ago, people had to pick up the phone and call my house, my house phone. And, you know, back in the day, you had caller ID. You could look and say, we're eating dinner. I'm not going to. But nowadays, people can call you on your cell phone, and I can still monitor that call. I can say, well, I'm not going to answer right now. I'm eating dinner. And then sometimes if you don't pick up that phone call, you get two texts right behind it. Say, I called you. Where are you? And you know, I'm trying to get a hold of you. And sometimes it can be... That's hard. Sometimes that's tough to deal with, the accessibility. We want to be accessible, but at the same time, the on call 24 hours a day, which we realize that we are, we know that, and that comes with the territory. But sometimes that does not allow for a lot of rest. So.
And maybe, you know, and I'm just thinking about this on the fly, but I wonder if, for example, if you and I are going to go on vacation, we're going to take our family somewhere. Would it be helpful for maybe a chairman of deacons or maybe another staff member to stay up and say, listen. Brother Matt and his family, they're going to be out of town on vacation. If you need something, don't call him.
Right.
Call me.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, we're here to help you and serve you. If it's vitally urgent, we'll get it to Brother Matt. Don't worry about that. But start with us and let him decompress, let his family share that time. You think that'd be helpful?
Yeah, I do think that would be helpful. And I would encourage our listeners, too, if you have opportunity to influence that kind of thing in your church, to be able to stand and advocate for that kind of thing, do that. Do that. Help your pastor. If he's going to be away, a special time with his family, help him protect that time. And put some of the responsibility back on the church to say, let's be careful. Let's guard his time. Let's guard his family time. Because we want him to be rested when he comes back.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have to jump right back into it all over again. Let's help him get rested up and spend time with his family that he may be missing out on at times during the week because of all kinds of other things.
You know? Not that you and I are going on vacation together.
No.
Or maybe I'm going with you and your family. Set that up was kind of weird.
No. We don't want you going on vacation with us.
Right, exactly. That's good, man.
I've got another one.
Okay, yeah.
Let me say this one. What about if you're praying for your pastor, pray for his preaching. Pray for his preaching. One of the greatest responsibilities that we have as pastors is to preach.
That's right.
You know, in the book of Acts, where they have a need in the church, the needs of some people were not being met, and they develop what at least is a precursor to the deacon ministry, which we'll talk about in a later podcast, the ministry of deacons. They developed a system where these men can serve the needs of the church so that the apostles could continue in the preaching of the word and prayer. And so they really wanted to make sure that they guarded that preaching ministry, because that was priority number one. As shepherds, that's our main priority. Is to feed.
Yeah.
We've got to feed our sheep, and that means preaching. And so right now, I know at least it may be different for you and your situation. I know for me right now, I'm preaching at least three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm also involved with teaching a Sunday school class. I'm also teaching, if I can, smaller groups where I'm discipling maybe some men or something like that. And so if you include all of those, that's multiple times that a pastor may be preaching or teaching during the week. Now, that's a huge responsibility. We want to be good teachers of the Word, faithful teachers of the Word, and that takes time.
Yes, it is.
That takes study. That takes a commitment to do it well. And so if you pray for your pastor, hopefully you are, pray for his preaching. Pray that it will be... Pray that he will grow.
Yes.
I'm hoping I'm getting better at my preaching. I hope I'm getting better from week to week. But pray for your preacher. Pray for your pastor that he's going to get better in that area of preaching.
I love that. Preaching is work, you know, and much of the work is it's almost like an iceberg. You know, I would compare it to an iceberg, that preaching is kind of the tip that you see sticking out of the water.
Yeah.
But, man, everything else that goes into the preparation of that is under the surface. And I'm just curious, you know, thinking about this, and this might be insightful for our listeners. As you're preparing these, how long does it typically take for you to prepare a sermon? I'll give you a little from my own experience. If it's something I'm familiar with before I step into a text or step into whatever, I'm probably going to look about 2 to 4 hours. Mm-hmm. If I'm pressed for time, I know it's coming soon, or I don't have a whole lot of time to study, and I'm familiar with the topic, I'll probably 2 to 4 hours. Most sermons that I'm doing an expository preaching through a book, and I've got a passage, and I really want to get, when I'm talking about praying, working in the text, commentary research, framing the sermon, and putting it in its final form of preaching, probably 16 to 20 hours per sermon. Mm. Okay, so that, I mean, just put that in context with everything else that a pastor has to do. One sermon could be as much as 16 to 20 hours. Most of them, we don't have that much time.
Yeah.
So we've got to really hone our craft down there. What about you? Is that similar?
Yeah, I would say it's similar. And that's the hard thing about that is we have to learn how to protect that time,
right,
discipline our time. Because we can very easily get taken away by so many other things that might be important, but might be secondary to the preaching.
Right, right.
Where, you know, our church members might think, well, it's most important for Brother Matt or Brother Micah to be here or to go there or to do this or to do that. I would just remind our listeners, what is most important is that your pastor be ready to stand before God's people, ready to open his holy word, and be ready to rightly divide it so that our people hear from God. The greatest thing our people need when they walk into a sanctuary is to hear from God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They need to be ready, and we need to be ready to be able to give that to them and say, here is what God is saying, thus saith the Lord. And so that's a huge priority. And so, it does take a lot of time. There are times, and this may be to my own detriment, but there are times when I don't have much time to study because of many other things.
Mm-hmm.
I can study pretty quickly and for a sermon because I'm familiar with the territory. I know the lay of the land. I've been studying the Bible for a long time. Don't know it all. Not perfect at it, but I know enough. And so I've studied a lot. So I can do that. I can preach a sermon on the fly or take a couple of hours to prepare for one. But for a sermon, particularly for me on Sunday morning, which is, I guess, is this right? Sunday morning is sort of the Super Bowl. you know, that's the, you know, is that even right? Is that the main sermon and then Sunday night, Wednesday night are not as important? No, I address Sunday night, Wednesday night a little differently, a little bit more
informally. Sunday morning is more maximal. You're going to get visitors more there. You're going to get more.
Yeah. So that's what I mean, I guess, when I say that. So Sunday morning sermon, I'm trying to fit a maximum amount of time into the week that I can pour into that study. Now, you're only going to get 30, 45 minutes of it.
Yeah.
But I've spent hours with that text and culling a lot of stuff that I wanted to say but I don't have time to say, building up a sermon, framing it the right way, like you said. And so there's a lot that goes into preaching sermons. And so, man, if you're praying for your pastor, pray for his preaching. Pray that God will help him carve out that time.
Yeah, and we need to also say that the preparation for preaching for a sermon is a spiritual experience. It is led by the Spirit, listening to the Spirit.
Yeah, it's not just academic.
It's not just academic. In as much as if you don't have hardly any time and you got to stand up in front of your people and preach, that is a spiritual moment too. And God's going to speak to his people. He's going to feed his people through his word, whether we've got 45 minutes and that's all we got, or we've got 20 hours to put into it. I have found that both of those outcomes, the Spirit speaks. And he's speaking all through the preparation process or the lack thereof. And he's going to do the work through the word. And I think that's important. And also, like you said, grow in preaching. Pray for your pastor to become a better preacher.
That's right.
I mean, this is a craft. It's an art and a science. I mean, we are learning, you know, how to communicate in many ways to a very diverse group of people. Some people learn by seeing. Some people learn by hearing. Some people learn better by analogy and illustration. Some people are real didactic in their, you know, they can get the points and the scriptures and all the information. And so it's a challenge to be a good preacher to a diverse crowd of people. But the Spirit's going to do the work through the Word anyway.
Yeah. And I'd say, too, about the, you know, praying for his preaching. If you don't think he's a good preacher, pray that he gets better.
That's right.
Now, don't tell him that.
Yeah,
don't go to him and say, I'm praying you get better.
Yeah.
Don't discourage him. But if you don't think he's a great teacher, a great preacher, then pray that he gets better.
That's
you
it.
Know? And I heard this a long time ago. I'll say this. A pastor was teaching in a conference of some sort, and he said, look, if you're having trouble with your pastor and you don't like him and you don't think you can worship with him, you don't think you can support his ministry as much anymore, and he's not the greatest preacher in the world and all that kind of stuff, here's the way you need to pray for him. You pray for him that God would lead him to a much bigger church.
Hmm.
And I like it was funny. It was funny that he said that. But really, to be honest with you, what he was teaching people was to pray unselfishly for him.
Mm-hmm.
Not praying vengeance, not praying that, you know, we just run him off, not praying whatever, but pray that God would make him such a great preacher that a bigger church would come.
Wow.
And,
interesting.
So it was an interesting way of saying that.
Yeah.
What about you? What's another way that people can pray for their pastor?
Well, you know, we also mentioned, you know, the burden of ministry. And I think another way that you can pray for your pastor is pray for his joy. You know, the Christian life ought to be full of so much joy. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And fact of the matter is, because we often deal with, let me say, the grittiness of people's lives, oftentimes in conflict, oftentimes in sorrow and suffering, that, man, if we're any kind of shepherd who loves his sheep, we're going to empathize with that. We're going to go home and feel it to some degree, you know, that our people are struggling in many ways. And I have to fight for joy. I really do. And some of that's personality, but some of that is just the nature of the work of shepherding, that I'm not always running around sensing a deep satisfaction. And happiness is not really the right word, although that's part of it. But there's a contentment and a happiness that comes from the Lord in the midst of any circumstance whatsoever. And if we're overladen with these kind of struggles in the body, oftentimes, man, I'm finding myself discouraged. I find myself not necessarily unhappy, but not necessarily depressed either, but just kind of in a rut of, man, Lord, show me something good. Give me something good. Help me. Pull me out of this, you know. And so pray for your pastor's joy, that would just be the kind of breath of fresh air in his sails that propels him into the fight and into the conflict rather than trying to escape and remove himself.
Yeah, that's really good. You know that your pastor, as he's preaching on Sunday, that's the what he's exhibiting on Sunday, the joy with which he's preaching and the fire and the passion that he may have. That may not be the same joy, passion, fire that he has all throughout the week. Not to mean that it's not genuine on Sunday morning, but he's going to leave that pulpit and sometimes immediately walk into his office where he's dealing with a couple that's on the verge of divorce.
Yeah.
And it's gotten nasty, and now they sit down with the pastor and are ready to rip each other apart, and you're trying to help walk them through over a couple of months, 2-3 months worth of counseling to try to say, hey, let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
And then pastor turns right around and takes that home with him and now is discouraged when he's at home. He's thinking about them. What can I do? What can I say? And he's having to guard, as we said earlier, he's having to guard himself mentally and spiritually when he's with his family because he's worried about that couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the week, he's going to have to do a funeral or two and spend time with that family and grieve with them and help bear that burden. And then so there's just so many highs and lows in a pastor's life where they're having to really bear the burdens of people, which we enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that can sap the joy from a pastor's life. And sometimes once we have times, I know I do, I sit down in my office and shut the door, close the blinds, sitting there by myself and just sometimes weep.
Yeah.
Sometimes just sit there and go, I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. Pray for his joy.
Mm-hmm.
Pray that God would just continue to feed him and give him those moments. Like you said, give me something good, that God would give him something good, some things to hang on to, things to rejoice with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that can come through our church family.
Yes, it can.
They can be the ones to bring a lot of that joy back into us, to say, hey, I love you and thinking about you.
Yeah.
You know, bring him some cookies or a pie, you know.
Yeah.
That's all right. You can do that for your pastor.
Yeah,
bring him a pie.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a a good thing. But there's a lot of things you can, you know, church members can help do for their pastor that can help restore some of that joy.
Absolutely. And, you know, pray that the Lord sends your pastor good friends.
Yeah, that's pastor, a great
pastor
great
can be
point.
Lonely. I'm seeing this in the context of joy, and maybe the loneliness factor is where I'm kind of thinking right now. But most people in a church context, would you agree with this, aren't really comfortable getting close to their pastor. I mean, it's just
a little intimidating.
It's a little intimidating or whatever. But that God would send your pastor friends that would come alongside and not add to the burden, you know, of the ministry, but would come alongside as kind of a Barnabas encourager and say, man, let's go grab a cup of coffee and talk about sports or whatever, you know, to get our minds off this thing, but to really be that kind of gift from the Lord that helps foster joy. I don't know who it was, but I read somewhere that, and I want you to react to this statement, that the pastor should be the most joyful person in the church. Do you think that's right, or is that a misled statement of our work?
Well, I guess the pastor needs to be maybe one of the greatest examples of the fruit of the Spirit, right? If joy is one of those fruit, the pastor should be maybe one of the greatest examples in the church of that. And I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, people who maybe make that statement may not quite get or understand the burden under which your pastor works every day, which can often lead to a lack of joyfulness. And that may be right or wrong. That may be wrong on our part, that we allow things to get to us too much that it takes away our joy. But I agree in a sense that we need to be maybe the greatest example of the fruit of the Spirit in our church family. Perhaps we're not always, but at the same time, I realize that you know, if you think that your pastor is always going to be full of love and joy and peace and patience, kind of, if you think he's always going to be perfect at that, then you're looking for the wrong guy to be your pastor. I mean, we're just not. We're sinners too, like everybody else, and we experience lapses and all those things, and so we struggle at times too. We're not immune to the struggle of joylessness
and
a lack of patience and a lack of, you know, all those self-control. We're not immune to that. We have those too. So
No, that's really helpful. And I think we need that kind of pray for your pastor's joy. What would you add?
I'd say pray for his courage.
Okay.
You know, we're in a culture right now where it's politically incorrect to preach about a lot of the things that we are going to be preaching about.
Sure.
And we realize as we preach to a crowd of several hundred people, not everybody's agreeing with us.
Yeah.
And we know that ahead of time. We walk into the pulpit. Sometimes that makes us nervous. Sometimes that makes us apprehensive. And we don't want to be. We don't want to be nervous or apprehensive about what we may preach. But we understand sometimes the people we're preaching to may not agree and may... We may get some kickback from what we're going to preach that we know is true, and we feel like the Word says certain things about certain, then we know we're going to get some pushback. And sometimes that can lead a pastor to be apprehensive. So I'd say pray for his courage. Pray that he's able to stand every Sunday, Wednesday, whenever he's teaching and preaching, and he's able to do it with boldness and courage and stand before God's people and say, this is what God has said, and this is what's right or this is what's wrong. And he's going to need that courage to do that Sunday after Sunday.
That's right. And we're in the people business, right? I mean, we love people. We care about people. We don't want to stand up there and just throw Bibles at them all the time and hit them over the head with it. At the same time, you know, the Apostle Paul says in different contexts that, you know, if I would be worried about pleasing people, then I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. I wouldn't be pleasing Christ. And there are going to be those moments of instruction and teaching that are going to be correction, rebuking, and reproving from the Word. And if you and I can't get up there as a man under authority, as an under shepherd given this task to deliver these messages, but we're more concerned about what so-and-so is going to think in the congregation, or how's this going to affect me with so-and-so, is a big tither going to get upset and leave and take, you know, those are the wrong questions to be asking. The question is, am I faithful to the Word, and am I doing and saying what the Lord would have me do or say, especially in a culture, as you mentioned, man, that is just absolutely against. In fact, some of this conversation has died down in our culture, but I still think it's there about hate speech and about pastors, you know, saying biblical statements, but that's really hate speech. Well, no, man. We're people who love others. We love the gospel, love the Lord. We want people to live and to flourish as God designed them to flourish. And sometimes we got to say hard things.
Yeah, we do. And there's a lot to be said that's hard
in
our culture.
Yeah.
And you got to have the guts to do it, because you know that not only is your culture going to be against it, some of the folks sitting in the pews are going to be against what you're about to say.
That's right.
And it's going to take a backbone. It's going to take some spine to be able to say some of these things, where you know when you walk out of that pulpit, somebody's going to say to you, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And and we've known, and we hear stories all the time of pastors who don't just get a private conversation with somebody say, I disagree with you. Mm-hmm. But there are some pastors that are getting it publicly.
That's right.
I mean, that are really getting hammered for what they have said in the media, in a newspaper, on TV. They're getting hammered for what they're saying. And it takes boldness and courage to stand before people and preach.
That's right. And you know, there are going to be opportunities to be courageous in the gospel, you know, when there's error at stake. You know, and when someone maybe on a public platform would say, you know, something contrary to the gospel. Like, there's an article out right now about a guy who's a Baptist. He's a moderate or liberal Baptist, but he's arguing against penal substitutionary atonement, which is the anchor of the atonement in the Bible.
Right.
And he's making all these claims about how we need to get rid of this kind of wrathful satisfaction, and we need to get rid of this substitutionary kind of idea. And just, you know, that's nonsense, man.
Right.
And that's the gospel on the line. And we've got to be willing to stand up and say, listen, he's in error. He's wrong.
Right.
It's not that I don't love him. It's not that I have any personal, you know, vendetta against this guy. But it's more what he's saying is wrong. And that might come at a personal cost as well. Just being courageous and conviction about the biblical gospel.
What's another way that you think that people can pray for your pastor? We're getting close to the end of our podcast, which has gone by so quickly.
Yeah.
What do you think is another way people can pray for their pastor?
Well, maybe if this is our last one, maybe how about pray for his fruitfulness? And let me explain. I guess maybe what's on my heart in this on this particular one is pray that he'll see fruit in his ministry. And maybe that's an evangelistic impulse of mine, that when we stand up to preach the gospel and we labor and we plead and we call and we pray for convert, we pray for God's Spirit to save people, that we would see that, man. That we would see the Lord, you know, because Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Well, here we are, workers in the harvest.
Right.
And we want to see, you know, the reaping, if you will, of the kingdom of God among us. And I think, you know, it's such an encouragement for me and for you to lead someone to Christ. Or in preaching, we can see the light bulb come on, and everything starts to flow from that they are saved. And that's just one aspect of fruitfulness. We might even also say, you know, spiritual growth of our people, that we're teaching, and they're growing in their marriages, and they're growing in the discipleship of their children, whatever the case may be. Simply pray for our fruitfulness, that the work of plowing and preparation and shepherding, you know, actually does grow into something for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, you want your pastor to experience, you want him to experience some of the fruit of what he's laboring to accomplish. You want him to experience the good things. You want him to experience to see somebody walk down the aisle, or see somebody pray and be broken over their sin, somebody make a new decision, a marriage to be healed. He wants to see those kind of things, because that's what he's laboring for. That's what he's praying for, and he's teaching for, and he's spending so much time worried about people and being concerned with them. He needs to see some of that fruit, or he wants to anyway. And we realize that there's not always going to happen. You know, William Carey, as a missionary, left to go to India, and he spent the first, 10, 11 years preaching the gospel with no converts. Very little fruitfulness, it looked like, in the beginning of his ministry. And boy, that was a tough thing for him to deal with.
Huge.
Every pastor wants to see some fruit of his ministry. Man, pray for that. Pray that God, that people would be led to repentance. Pray that people would, marriages would be reconciled. Pray that relationships between parents and sons that you're trying to counsel with them about, that good things have happened, that God has done some great things. So pray for fruit, not just in his preaching on Sunday morning, but pray for fruit in the different areas of his ministry. I like that. I agree with you.
That's well said. That's well said.
Well, I want to bring our podcast to a close today with a segment that we've started doing lately called Did You Know? And we get an opportunity to just sort of share something. It can be fun, it can be funny, it can be serious, it can be whatever, but trying to teach us some little nuggets and some things we didn't know. I know one. I got one.
Go for it.
I got one. Did you know that 11% of people are left-handed?
I did not know that.
I would have thought it would have been a lot more than that. 11%. If my facts are right. I figured it would be maybe not half, but I figured, 40% of people. Although, thinking about personally, I don't know a lot of left-handed people. Not a whole lot of them.
Yeah, just a few.
Okay. Anyway, what do you got?
That's interesting. Well, did you know that Mickey Mouse in Italy is almost a completely different thing? And he's referred to as Topolino. Topolino. Yeah, man.
But the mouse is still the same.
Yeah, it is. But they call him Topolino.
Is that the word for mouse? Mm,
it's Mickey Mouse's name in Italy. Topolino. Yeah. Did you know that?
No idea.
There you go.
I had no idea. Now I do. All right. Well, thank you for joining us for Gospel Rain today. It's been a lot of fun just having a conversation about how to pray for your pastor. And we hope you'll be back with us next time on the podcast. We want you to continue to share us with your friends. Share us on Facebook. You can find us there. Find us on Twitter. Find us on GospelRain.com. You can also check us out on iTunes and share us on some other podcast apps with your friends. Share the information. We're just trying to encourage as many people as we can with these gospel-centered conversations. We'll see you back next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.